Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, Minister of Christ Hour Power, Southern Seventh Term Congregation, now is out of the 12th hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is July the 19th, 2025, or is the 25th day of the fourth lunar month, 2029. Service today, second service on this Sabbath day. This is number five. Two timely greetings, Ricky Hollis. He said, a feast that rolls away the veil, opens the gates, and causes death to flee away. September the 6th, 1947. Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Service and Congregation Mount Zion, the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is July 19, 2025. It is the 25th day of the fourth lunar month, 2029. And we're going to start our sermon today. It's going to be two timely greetings, number five, entitled A Feast That Rolls Away the Veil, Opens the Gates, and Causes Death to Flee Away. Now that's what we're all hoping for, is one day for death to flee away. And so therefore this is a text of Advice by the Vicky Hodder, Shepherd God, September the 6th, 1947. I was 9 years old in 47 when this sermon was made. It says that, let's have a little word of prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and your many blessings to us. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Bless us, Heavenly Father, that get a special blessing from it. We pray a blessing upon all your people all over the world that are crying out for deliverance, for salvation. And hopefully, it'll be coming their way, and it is coming their way every day. So we pray for your safety to the uttermost, all those that call upon your name, for salvation. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll bless our people in Africa, Jeff Wright and David Sin too, their congregations up there, as they're listening in every day to our sermons. And so Heavenly Father, it's all in your hands. Bless Donald Trump. Keep him protected at all times, for he's revolutionizing the world, and he's changing the whole world, and rightfully so, it needs to be changed. So Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'll continue to protect him, and all the people that work with him in right lines, and all the nations that are at hand to come. So now, bless us, Heavenly Father, as we go into the reading of your word, and whatever, praise you and thank you for all things accomplished. And most of all, remember our children, Greg, Grant, Chris, Nate, Tammy, and the grandchildren. That's our personal children here. Let's just save them to the utmost and bring them unto thee at their appointed time. So Heavenly Father, it's all in your hands. Rebuke to devour and keep us all in our eternal kingdom. In our shared name we pray now and for his sake. Hallelujah. Okay, our sermon today is a study taken from the Isaiah 25 and 26 in order properly to orientate ourselves to the subject matter. We shall begin with the sixth verse of chapter 25 of Isaiah. And in this mountain shall the Yeshua of the host, that's the Son of Yahweh, make unto all people a feast of the fat things, a feast of the wines on the lees, of the fat things, full of the marrow of the wines on the lees, well refined. First of all, we should find the truth of this figurative mountain. For this information, we must go to the last verse of the 24th chapter, because the story of the 25th chapter begins with the previous chapter. We shall read these verses connectively, Isaiah 24, 23, and Isaiah 25, 6. Okay, so this time I'm going on into my reading.
Yeah, I'm right here now.
Let us continue now. Isaiah 24, 25, and 25, verse 6. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when Yahshua the host shall reign in Mount Zion. And when I say Mount Zion, this is Yahshua the son of Yahweh that is coming back to this earth here in these last days. And he's coming in person. This is his second advent. And he's coming to Mount Zion. Well, where is this Mount Zion? Everybody says, but it's in Jerusalem. Yes, it is. That's old Mount Zion. That was back in ancient days, with Solomon and David. But we're talking about the new Mount Zion in our days. This is called Mount Zion at the 12th hour, and that's who we are. Elijah David, Mount Zion at the 12th hour. And we're stationed right here in the Elgin, Lexington, Texas area. And so we're talking about this place right here where we're at. And then Jerusalem, and I always use the sacred name Yahweh is, R-U-S-A-L-E-M, that's the way it was originally spelled, which is called Jerusalem today, and before the ancients gloriously. And then this mountain is the 12th hour, and that's what we represent right here today, in Elgin, Texas, is shall the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, he's the Yahshua of the host. And who is the host? That's the 144,000, the first priest harvest out of the Adventist Church during this 12th parabolic hour that we're in now. Make unto all the people of a feast of the fat things, a feast of the wines on the lees, or of the fat things full of the marrow of the wines on the lees, well refined. Here you see that the Mount Zion of the 12th hour here in the is as the mountain on which the Yahweh the Father will prepare a feast for all the people. And when I say all the people, I'll add my words that are all around this place, a feast of the tempting things. There will the people gather together, Isaiah 25:7. And he will destroy in this mountain. Now this mountain, this is the mountain of the house of the Yahweh that is talked about in Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. And this mountain of the house of Yahweh is this Mount Zion at the 12th hour. We represent this mountain. So he said he's going to destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people. Now there's a covering cast over all the people of the world today. They don't know what the real truth is. But he's going to destroy that out of this mountain, Mount Zion, the 12th hour, that we are of today. and the veil that is spread over all the nations. He's going to destroy all that. He's going to lift that veil so that one day, when this hand typically Elijah, David, appears on the scene with this message of the hour, Malachi 4:5, he said, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and he shall turn the hearts of the father to the children, the children hearts back to the father, and if he doesn't, not able to do this, he's going to come and smite the earth with a curse." So this has to be done. When the covering under which the nations now stand rolls away, then shall they find themselves in the open, vulnerable to the wind and storm. Yes, when the veil which now hangs over all the people of the earth is pulled down, then shall they see that which they cannot now see, and what then? Isaiah 25:8-10. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Yahweh the Father will wipe away. Now let's change that. And Yahshua, the son of Yahweh the Father, the son now, he's already come back in the 12th hour to this mountain. He's sitting on top of the throne of David in this mountain. That's Daniel 2:44-45. Will wipe away all terrors from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Yahshua has spoken it, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is ours. Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And what is what does it say in John 4:20? Yahshua says, "You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." He told that Samaritan woman. He said, "Salvation is of the Jews. For in this mountain," that's the mountain of the house of Yahweh. You go read Isaiah 2 for that information, and Micah 4. It's called this mountain of the house of the Yahshua. Shall the hand of the Yahweh, the Father, rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him. Now, Moab is kin folks to Moses. There's through Lot. Lot was a nephew of Abraham. So when we talk about Moab, we're talking about kin folks of Abraham. So it says, Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. So Abraham's kin folks, Moab is one of them, and Ammon, they were idolaters. And that's the reason why they're going to be trodden down as a dunghill. Whenever this holy mountain is set up that we represent today. For the making of these great events possible, okay, now, it says not only the ones who at that time ruled the land, but Moab also, we see, shall be trodden down. Now, Moab is a descendant of Lot, the one that was rescued out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the burning of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were his children through his daughters. And who would Moab be if not the Arabs, A-R-A-B-S, the Muslims today, who now lay heavy claim to the land of Israel? they call it Palestine also, soon the world will find that the Father Yahweh has not forsaken the earth, and that the Father Yahweh is a master of the situation. Isaiah 25:11-12. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim, and he shall bring down your pride together with the spoils of their hands, and the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even unto the dust. For these verses hold the fact before us that it matters not what kind of the fortification men may devise. Such shall nevertheless be brought down as a straw when the Yahweh the Father manifests his power. Having now clearly seen this wonderful Bible truth, let it be you to say it. Isaiah 25:1. O Yahweh, thou art my Yahweh. I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faith, fullness, and truth. Here we are shown that as a result of this revealed truth, some will truly accept the Yahshua of the Bible as their King and Savior, the Son of Yahweh, and will pledge to exalt Him and ever to praise His wonderful name, and His name is Yahshua, because they see that He has done wonderful things. His counsels of old, will they not turn down, because they will know from the experience that His counsels are faithfulness and truth. They will, from the personal experience, know the Father Yahweh's power and say, Isaiah 25:2-3, for thou hast made of a city an heap. And that city is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So he brought it down and made a heap out of it. And he's exalted this here on Mount Zion for 12 hours that came out of the Adventist Church. Exalted in the 12th hour that we're in now, since 2002. Okay, as a defense city, a ruin, a palace of the strangers, there be no city, for it shall never be built. So the Adventist Church is going to be made in heap, and it's going to be a no city. It shall never be built, and I add the word again. It will never be built again, because it was built one time. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, for this, as the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. Let's do that again. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. I'll put the preposition, for the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. I eliminated the comma and I added the preposition, for. For the city of this verse must be the one first mentioned in Isaiah 24, for the city of the confusion is broken down, and that's the Adventist Church. Adventist Church is total confusion today.
Uh-huh.
Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. In other words, I'll read that again. For the city of the confusion, let's do it again. for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, as the city of the confusion, is broken down, and every Adventist church in the world is shut up, that no man may come in. There is a crying for the wine in the streets. All joy is darkened, for the mirth of the land is gone, and the Seventh-day Adventist city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with the destruction. And thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, this shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the draining grapes when the vintage is done. They, those who are not shaken down, shall lift up their voice, for they shall sing for the majesty of the Yeshua. For they shall cry aloud from the sea, wherefore glorify ye the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, in the fires. Even the name of the Father Yahweh of the Israel in the isles of the sea, from the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory unto the righteous. As a result, there shall be converts from the four corners of the earth. Now, if you heard that first real good, let me know. Are you there?
Right here. I have you on mute. I heard you.
There's going to be converts from the four corners of the earth unto this Mount Zion at the 12th hour. And these converts is the first church. Is going to be the 144,000, and they've come out of the Adventist church from all over the world.
All right.
That's who these converts are. And then the Adventists, the 144,000 converts, as saints out of the Adventist church, then they go and get their brethren in all nations. And those brethren, as found in Revelation 7, 9, and 9, it says these are the Gentiles of all the nations. And then the 144,000, they have the privilege of going and harvesting all their Gentile brethren and bringing back to this holy mountain. That's what it says so in Isaiah 66, 19, and 20.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
You might want to give a shout.
But I said, my lameness, my lameness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers, which is the Seventh-day Adventist ministers, the General Conference, which is nothing but a bunch of Jesuit Catholics, have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. Isaiah 24:10-17. For the following quotation from the spirit of the prophecy as light unto these verses. Sister White says, I saw jets of the light shining from the cities and villages, and from the high places and the low places of the earth. And we know earth in prophecy is the United States proper. For the Yahweh's word was obeyed, and as a result, there were memorials for him in every city and village. His truth was proclaimed throughout the world. Testimony, Volume 9, page 28 and 9. In the land, okay, let's it says Isaiah 26, verse 1. And that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. And Judah is the tribe that David came from, and that's the tribe that we're of, because we're the lineal descendants of David. So we're of the tribe of Judah today, the lawgiver. Genesis 49:10 says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, a scepter means the rod, authority for Yahweh's government, shall not depart from Judah, nor lost give from between his feet until Shiloh come. And Shiloh is the son of man, Yahweh, Yahshua, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So now it says, in the land of Judah we have a strong city. That's the city of David. That's the city of David. That's the first time that I've applied that part. It's actually the city of David. Salvation will Yahweh appoint for walls and bulwarks. For the song for the majesty of the Yahshua is therefore to be sung in the promised land of Israel that is being renovated right to this very day, just for this purpose. And there will the saints have a city that cannot be shaken down, for it is to have salvation for walls. Then it shall be said, Isaiah 26:2, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. So you'll find that also in Deuteronomy chapter 4 about this righteous nation. And Isaiah chapter 66 also. Here is taught that all this takes place in the day of the salvation. And we're in that day of the salvation right now. And Mount Zion, the 12th hour, is a designated hour, the last one for the probation in every time of this earth's history. This is the hour that salvation is brought forth unto all the living on the earth. The dead has already had their salvation, and they're waiting in the grave to be resurrected. And you'll find that in there in Daniel 12:1. And the day that the gates can be opened for a righteous nation to enter in. And that's who we are. We're developing a righteous nation right here in Texas. That's this nation is talking about. Yes, a whole nation. And so this whole nation means every member here in Texas will become a righteous people. Everybody that lives here in Texas, 100% is going to be a righteous people. That's what will make it a righteous nation. All the wicked are going to be purged out of this nation at the appointed time. Of such as should be saved. Now I'm going to read that again. Here is taught that all this takes place in the day of the salvation, in a day that the gates can be opened for a righteous nation to enter in. Yes, a whole nation of such as should be saved. Not a sinner among them shall then respond to the call. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Isaiah 26:3-4. There, thou wilt keep him in the perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, forever. For in the Yahshua, the Messiah, Son of Yahweh, is with the everlasting strength. Although throughout the years of the history, nations have developed great power, yet not one has retained that power forever. But we are here reassured that those who trust in the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, shall have eternal peace and everlasting strength. We want to be recovered from our affliction? Well, here's the answer right here. I just read it to you. Isaiah 26:5-10. for he bringeth down them that dwell on the high. For the lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low, even unto the ground. Now, who is this lofty city? It's the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He says, he bringeth down them that dwell on high. And how do we know if it's talking about the lofty city? It says there in the Laodicean Church, which is the Adventist Church, it says Laodicea, when it was a city over 2,000 years ago, there in Asia, it was a lofty city. It said that it was built among the rocks, and it was in the cliffs of the rocks. The city itself was literally living in the cliffs of the rocks. And they had a warm, lukewarm river running right through the center of that city. That's reading why it says the Adventist today, the seventh church, Laodicea, is a lukewarm church. The city itself, the physical city itself, had a river running through the center of it that was called lukewarm, year-round. The lofty city, the Seventh-day Adventist church, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even unto the ground. He bringeth it even unto the dust, for the feet shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. For the way of the just is uprightness. And what did Martin Luther say about the just? In Romans 1:17, he said, the just shall live by faith. By faith in what? In the blood of the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just, yea, and the way of thy judgments, O Yahweh, have we waited for thee. For the desire of our soul is unto thy name and unto the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, and earth and prophecy is the United States proper, the inhabitants of the world, that's the rest of the world, will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed unto the wicked. Yet will he not learn righteousness in the land of the uprightness? Will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Yeshua? And this majesty, what is this majesty of the Yeshua? It is his converted saints. That's his majesty, and the 144,000 are his first ones. It says so, that Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, stands on the Mount Zion, Revelation 14:1-2, with the 144,000 in that day. Okay, I rest my case. There it is right there. For these verses plainly tell us that when the judgments of the Yahweh, the Father, fall upon the earth, as I've said, the earth, which is the land that we live in here today, the righteous-minded will learn righteous. Only the righteous-minded will learn righteousness. But the unrepentant sinners will not learn righteousness, regardless what is done for them. And this is why they are to be barred from the congregation of the righteous. For the righteous, however, even now feel the Yahshua's mighty hand, and painfully they declare. Isaiah 26:11. It says, Yahweh, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but shall see, and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Indeed, when the Yahweh's hand is lifted up to deliver his people, let's do that again. Indeed, when the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh's hand is lifted up to deliver his people by his blood, I might add, the wicked will not see it. But after the righteous are delivered, the wicked will clearly see and envy. But it shall be unto their shame and too late to do them any good. Even now, while the latter rain is falling, the self-righteous who imagine that they have a need of nothing are either running away from it or pulling their raincoats over their heads. For the secrets of the righteousness, though, come out in the open, thus they learn to say, in Isaiah 26:12, Yahweh, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. This can be said only by those who allow the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, to perform his work in their hearts, so that they may praise him. Isaiah 26:13-16. O Yahshua, our Savior. Other lords beside thee have had dominion over us. In other words, other ministers, the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, that stole the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1890 from Ellen G. White. They were Jesuit Catholics. That's what this Isaiah is talking about. Other, our old Yahshua, our Savior. Other lords, those Jesuit Catholics, that stole the Adventist Church from Ellen G. White in 1890, beside thee have had dominion over us, Seventh-day Adventists, that believe in the Ellen G. White movement, but by these only will we make mention of thy name, for they are dead. Okay, so these General Conference Jesuits that stole the Adventist Church in 1890 from the Adventists, they shall not live, for they are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Yahshua. Thou hast increased the nation. That's the nation of the Israel, which started out in 1844 as the Seventh-day Adventist. The spiritual Israel of today, Sister White said so. She said that the Adventist Church is the spiritual Israel of today. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Thou sure and trouble have they visited thee. For they poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. These verses declare that the spiritual Israel of the promise, of the promises, not the unbelieving Jew, which is the spiritual Israel of the Seventh-day Adventist today, that has apostatized, have increased in number since having been removed from their land. Since having been scattered unto the ends of the earth, while this chastening, being driven away from their land, is still upon them, they pour out a prayer and say, in Isaiah 26:17-18, like as a woman with a child that draweth near until the time of her delivery is in pain and cries out in her pain, so have we been in thy sight, O Yahweh. We have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Now this is what the Adventist church say at the end of their time. They look back and they say, well, we've been around for a long time, but we haven't wrought any deliverance in the earth. Well, we have, the inhabitants of the world have not fallen. So here is shown that the eyes of the penitent are to be opened. They are to see themselves as Yahweh sees them and confess that they have hitherto failed in their efforts, that they have travailed, have been in pain, but have brought forth only wind, as it were, while the impenitent think that they themselves are rich and increased with the goods, are doing a great deed, and are in the need of nothing. Yes, the church, the Seventh-day Adventist church may now boast of her achievements, or her so-called large membership, but not long hence will she also discover that she has fail to finish her work, that the world is still destroying the earth, that her people are unsaved, and that rather than having brought forth salvation, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has brought forth nothing but wind. Now this is what B.G. Hall said about the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1932 when he was writing this Shepherd Rogers book. In a mighty sifting soon to take place, we shall be better able to measure the strength of Israel. For the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. And that started this meeting, this fulfillment in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, when the ancient man before the house, Brother W. Johnson, angel of the seventh candlestick, Laodicea, was the first one judged and separated from the remnant. And he and his, those that stayed with Brother W. Johnson, they went out even from their own church. They were driven out, and they all ended up in Odessa, Texas, and left their church and everything behind. 2003. Isaiah 26:19. Thy dead men shall live together with thy dead body. Shall they arise? Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Not only the living, but the dead also shall be gathered into the strong city. We also hear the Yahshua pleading with us all, saying, Isaiah 26:20, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Okay, I just like about a couple paragraphs finishing this sermon. For this plea shows that we are approaching the time of the trouble, and that the Father Yahweh is anxious to have us under a cover. For the wise will hear him and will accept the chambers, the protection he provides for them. Isaiah 26:21. For behold, the Yahshua cometh out of his place, the Son of Yahweh, to punish the inhabitants of the earth. earth in poverty once again is the United States, for their iniquity, for the earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. All these truths that the Yahweh is now bringing unto our attention point unto the one thing, that the great and terrible day of the Yahshua is at hand, that he is soon to manifest his power and shake the earth so that everything that cannot be shaken may stand. Are you not glad, brother, sister, that Yahweh is giving you the first opportunity to get ready for the day of the Yahweh, to hold fast unto his ever-increasing truth? This brings the end of Two Time Degrees number 5 of E.T. Hardy, and we're going to now to finish out our we got about 15 minutes left on this hour, but we're going to bring this to a close.